It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Praise the Lord. All right. This is the Father's house.
Amen.
This is not the hog pen. There is peace in the house.
Amen.
Joy in the house.
Yes,
salvation in the house.
Yes,
healing in the house.
Amen.
Prosperity in the house.
Amen.
Everything you need is in the house.
Amen.
Everything you want is in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it.
Amen,
praise
brother.
The Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you, God, for this assembly here this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless this assembly in a special way. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us all the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of believer. We may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Sister, I love that poem you wrote. Could I have a copy? Could I have a copy of that? I'd love to have it. Things out of your word this morning. Give us all the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of believer. We may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Sister, I love that poem you wrote. Could I have a copy? Could I have a copy of that? I'd love to have it. And we had gotten down to chapter 10, verse 1, or at least I had, and we're going to be here for a while, probably. We talked about Tabitha being raised from the dead.
Amen.
And I proposed, and I know that you all have selahed on that for a while, that she was raised from the dead because of her works. Because it wouldn't have gone to get Peter in the first place if she had not been so indispensable to that congregation. That congregation could not accept that she was gone. So they said, go get Peter. We got to have some relief.
Amen.
So they went to get Peter, and that's why Tabitha was raised from the dead. How many of you believe she'd have been raised from the dead if they hadn't gone to get Peter? No.
That would be the sovereignty of God, wouldn't it?
She'd have stayed dead. Well.
She's going to be raised no matter what.
That would be sovereign.
That's
that would
what
be.
I'm talking about.
That'd be like predestination, I guess.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
She's going to be raised no matter.
Yeah, no matter what you did. And that's exactly right. You're right. I'm glad you said that. You're absolutely right. That would have been something strange. All right, so we're continuing this theme right into the next account here, which is Cornelius and the salvation of Cornelius and his household. We're going to find out that Cornelius was saved by works. He was saved by works.
Because they came up as a memorial before God.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. And that's why the Lord said, go get Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Go get Peter. It's because of his works. All right. You all are ahead of me now. But you know where we're going. Praise
Acts
the Lord.
Chapter in the book of Acts.
Yeah. Praise
that.
The Lord. This is a great chapter. Chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. But he wasn't a Christian. That's why he needed to go get Peter and have Peter preach the gospel to him. He prayed to God always, but he wasn't a Christian. So he's still not saved yet, okay? He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, now get this, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. I am here because of your prayers and your alms. What is an alms?
Giving.
That's right. It's given to the poor. It's given to the poor. It's good works to the poor.
Helping, always trying to
help. Yeah, that's right. It's works. It's giving, and it's not only not necessarily given of money, but given of time also. But it is giving of yourself to the poor. All right. And now, because you got a memorial, in heaven. You're not saved yet.
That's right.
You're not saved yet, but you're fixing to be.
You got a memorial.
You got a memorial, but. Yeah, you're not saved yet, but I'm here because of your memorial. All right. And now send to me to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do.
See, the angel could not witness to him.
No, the angel.
About Jesus.
That's right. The angel. This gospel has not been committed to angels.
Oh man, that's powerful.
That's right.
It is not committed to angels.
The angel came down and could not witness to him.
He could not witness to him.
Told him where to go.
That is correct. Now, in the book of Revelation, we're gonna see something else in the book of Revelation, and I don't know what to make of all that.
Well,
but we know in this,
I don't believe that the guy telling John in the book of Revelation were angels, because they had to tell.
Okay, well, we'll wait till we get into our Revelation study to get to that. But I want to say, since we're in Revelation, let me say, do you realize, there are seven churches, the book of Revelation was written to the seven churches of Asia, right?
Yeah.
Do you realize, so John wrote to seven churches. Do you realize that Paul also wrote to seven churches? Paul wrote to seven churches. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians. Seven churches. John wrote to seven. Paul wrote to seven. Now, those of you that are planning to be in our Revelation study, I would like for you to get you a little. And some of you are reading ahead in Revelation, and that's a great thing. I'd like for you to get a little notebook. Start your notebook and start taking notes, jotting down your ideas. And one thing I want you to do is, I want you to make a list of everything in the book of Revelation that is the number seven. Everything, every time in the book of Revelation you encounter the number seven, write it down and make a list. You got seven stars, seven angels, seven candlesticks, seven churches, seven spirits of God, seven eyes, seven seals, seven vials, seven bowls, seven thunders, seven trumpets amidst the trumpets. You got 7 years. Everything in there is in seven, or else an even fraction thereof, which is 3.5, of course, 42 months. Every single thing in the book of Revelation is seven. Seven, 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 seven. So we need to, I would like for you to write down and start making a list as you read through Revelation. Write down and list everything you encounter that's seven. This is interesting. It's very interesting.
When does class start? It's on Monday.
September.
It's going to be on Monday night.
Yeah.
Y'all know
anybody
looking for a job? I need assistant manager.
All right. Now let's. So where are we at here? So we know. So well, let's go ahead and read a little more. We'll read a little more. We've got to lay a little more foundation for what I'm fixing to say.
Oh.
All right. So he said, go get Peter, and he'll tell you what you ought to do. So he's still not saved yet. Because he hadn't said anything to him about Jesus. And of course, like Nick said, angels don't preach the gospel in this dispensation. And when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while he made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Now that's important. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. On the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, And Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. As he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, or who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore sent I to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they which were of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. All right, so now they're saved.
Yeah. They didn't lay hands on him to receive the
They did not. No, they received the Holy Ghost just like Peter and the apostles, the rest of the 120 did on Pentecost. It just, the Holy Ghost just, yes, just fell, yes. And they all spoke with tongues and magnified God. That's right. Praise the Lord.
I've seen that happen in church. I've seen the Holy Ghost fall on people.
Yeah.
Without the laying on of hands or anything.
That were being ministered to, that were being preached to, all of a sudden just, they were all sitting on the front row. Preacher was preaching about the Holy Ghost and said, if you want the Holy Ghost, come up here. And they came and sat. And then during the message, the Holy Ghost fell and it was just... It started at this end of the bench and went all the way down, and everyone received the Holy Ghost.
Now, here's the interesting thing, though, here. Those people that you're talking about were already saved.
They were saved.
They were already saved. Yeah. These folks were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at the same instant, just like on Pentecost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like on Pentecost. They were saved and filled with the Spirit, just like that. Just like on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
And we don't have any indication that they were praying. I mean, not out or not verbally, at least. They may have been praying under their breath or something. But when they heard the word,
the gospel.
When they heard the gospel, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word.
They received it.
They received the word. They received the word.
Yeah.
And when they received the word, they were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now this is interesting. Now here's what we want to get to. And I'm just going to barely be able to scratch the surface of this, so we're probably going to have to go back. Now when you take these two incidents, when you take what happened to Tabitha and you take what happened to Cornelius, it is clear that what happened to them because of their good works.
But they're not saved because they're good works.
They were saved because of their good works.
Because
they wouldn't have gone to get Peter.
Yeah.
If Cornelius had not gone, if he had not had the good works that got the attention of God, would he have ever met Peter?
Probably not.
And he wasn't saved till he met Peter.
Yep.
So he was saved by works. Okay, now I don't mean that. I don't mean he heard the word because of his good works.
Yeah. Yeah.
He heard the word because of the memorial that he sent up to God.
That was a reward.
He got the visitation of the angel because of his good works, and then because of the visitation he got to Peter, and because he got to Peter he got saved. You see the cause and effect there.
But he was seeking God.
He was doing the best he could, but he didn't know what he needed to know.
There was a God. He was just saying.
He didn't know what he needed to know.
He didn't know what he needed to know.
He was doing the best he could.
So that connects me with Romans. They're without excuse. Because you can look at nature and see. And if you look and...
Let's stay with this, what I'm trying to say here, for just a moment now. Now look at what we're seeing here is the cause and effect of sowing and reaping.
Yes. Yeah.
You understand that there is a cause and effect of sowing and reaping.
Amen.
You don't reap if you don't sow.
Right.
If you sow, you shall reap. If you sow bad things, you will reap bad things.
Yeah.
If you sow good things, you will reap good things. If you sow nothing, you will reap nothing. There is a cause and effect between sowing and reaping.
Yes.
Do we believe in sowing and reaping, or do we not?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me. Are you sure? Are you sure you do?
I'm sure.
Okay. Well, let me point out something here. You know,
go ahead, take your liberty.
I got maybe 5 minutes. We'll have to come back to this. But in our end time class, I kept saying you need a dependable rapture theology. and we drove that home, and y'all remember what I was talking about. Well, people need a dependable grace theology around here.
Amen.
And you need a defendable, dependable sowing and reaping theology. But I'm afraid that some folks have gotten so far over in the grace area that they no longer believe in sowing and reaping. Now let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Now this is Brother Womack's book on the balance of grace and faith. But he makes a couple of statements here that is really troubling to me. Now let me read these to you. This is on page 3 of his book, The Balance of Grace and Faith. Now he knows this is troubling because he says it is. So I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to listen to this in the context of what we just read in the Bible about Cornelius and Tabitha, and about the concept of sowing and reaping. Now listen to this. God's grace is the same towards everyone. God has been exactly the same toward every person who has ever lived. You may be wondering, then, why did so-and-so get healed and I didn't? Why did God touch them and not me? The problem is, you think that when you see something happen, that God has done something or provided something for that person that He hasn't provided for you. God's grace is the same towards everybody because it's not based on or tied to what you do. Now think about that for a minute. Because he says God's grace is the same toward everybody because it's not based on or tied to what you do. This is not something that is commonly understood. Most people believe that it's their performance that earns them extra pull and favor to get the power of God operating in their life. The truth is, the moment you begin relating God's blessing, the manifestation of His power in your life, to anything that you've done, then you've just voided grace. You've made God's blessing and manifestation in your life proportional to something you've done. If you think that way, then you don't understand the grace of God. That's what he says. I would ask you, is that consistent at all with the concept of sowing and reaping? Is that consistent with sowing and reaping? And I say it is not. It is not consistent with the concept of sowing and reaping. If you sow bountifully, you expect to reap bountifully. You have, Paul said, I don't need the money. I want you to give to me, not that I need the money, but you have an account.
Right.
And you need to make a deposit into your account. That's in Philippians chapter 4.
Yeah.
You need to make a deposit in your account. And if Cornelius and Tabitha had not been doing what they were doing, now they were sowing and they reap what they sow. And I put down here, one cannot do nothing and expect everything. I don't think you have faith to. I don't. People think they have faith, but like James said, if you think you have faith and you're not doing anything, your faith is dead. You got nothing. You got to do something. You got to do something. As a matter of fact. Yeah, as a matter of fact, James even goes farther and says that Abraham was saved by works.
Yeah.
Now, we need
saved by his works.
That's right. See, we need to stay balanced here. We really need to stay balanced because sowing and reaping is a concept in the Bible that you're not ever going to get away from. It's like Brother Hagin used to say, these things, the blessings of God don't fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. They don't. You got to do something.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to do something to get the blessings of God. The grace message that we're hearing preached nowadays is that you don't have to do anything. As a matter of fact, if you think you have to do something, you don't understand grace. Well, I would say, look, if you think that, you don't understand sowing and reaping. We We need a defendable and dependable grace theology around here. We need a defendable and dependable sowing and reaping theology. We need to understand.
Yeah.
Biblical concepts and keep them all straight here. And like this is what I was telling you. The end time study of the end times is so easy. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the Bible. Talking about the end times, learning about the end times, it's the easiest thing in the Bible. This is not easy. This is hard.
Grace is hard.
The idea and the concept of grace and sowing and reaping, that's hard. With the end times, there's no gray areas. It either is or it ain't. It either will or it won't. But there are gray areas here with this sowing and reaping and grace thing that we really need to bear down on this and not go too far in either direction on this. We need to be balanced, and we absolutely need to stay balanced. This book is well titled, but we need to watch for this. And when you know, we need to keep track of, keep your eye on the ball at all times. Praise God. All right, glory to God. I've probably run over.
Keep your eye on the word.
Keep your eye on the word.